Hello and welcome to the Best of Wonder Pod. The reason we are doing a Best of show is twofold. One, Patrick has gone on vacation to the mountains. I think it's probably has something to do with a life insurance scam where it will result in him being eaten by a bear. The second reason is I really like Best of shows. I like it when Bob and Tom do it, Opie and Anthony, all those Good Morning guys, so I thought I'd be a pretentious shitstick and do it too. Basically, what's going to happen in the next, hopefully, hour or so is I will give you several segments from previous shows, ones that are I consider the best or something to that effect. First thing we want to do, though, is I want to do a little bit of a bonus rant. And this is a little different this week. This bonus rant is going to be continuing on the subject of elite players, or players who are more concerned about their kill-death ratio or wins and loss ratio over actually enjoying the game. I suppose I've gotten to the point where I thought I needed to explain a little better why I rant on and on endlessly about these kind of guys. It's because, for one thing, I really don't understand how they can be enjoying the games. I mean, if you're so wrapped up in winning and losing and your stats that you're screaming at your teammates at the top of your lungs because we're about to lose a close game, that just makes no sense to me. It doesn't seem like it could be any kind of fun whatsoever. The other thing, too, is a lot of these guys that are doing the screaming and hollering and can think that they're the best players ever really aren't. Now, most of the time, this kind of thing that I've ranted about in previous shows takes place in first-person shooter games. Back in mid-2003, I played with a group of guys who were a clan in the original Call of Duty, the first one done by Infinity Ward. The name of the clan was Drum Gods. These guys were probably some of the best players I've ever played with. We're talking guys who just literally had godly stats. It was insane to me how good they were. I mean, when you played against them, when they were scrimmaging together as a clan, it was just a slaughter. It was pathetic. And I know I was on the receiving end of multiple stompings from these guys. But the interesting thing about those guys was, is except for one member of their clan, all of them were a really good bunch of guys who knew how to have fun, who were willing to show younger players and newer guys to the game how to be better, and they enjoyed it. On the rare occasions when they did have a bad night or when they did do badly, they were still cool about it. They still knew how to laugh it off. They still knew how to have a good time. And yet were still probably some of the best first-person shooter players I've ever played against. Probably still are today. So when I see these guys on Xbox Live who are screaming and hollering about you're in a ranked match or our team is losing or all of this various and sundry stuff, it just really annoys me. Because to me, video games are about having fun. They're what I do for relaxation. I have been in enough different sports and environments and even at work where putting pressure on yourself and trying to be the best, it becomes not fun. It just becomes a job. And the last thing I want with video games is it to become a job. Does this mean that after this little side rant that I'm not going to point out and bitch and moan when these guys, you know, do their thing? No, I'm not going to. Because it makes no sense to me. Really and truly, video games are about fun. That should be the overriding factor. Not, oh, we won or we lost. I mean, hey, I like doing well in games. And on most nights, I'm an above-average player. But I'm not going to let it ruin my fun. You know, so, hey, you want to be one of these super-duper elite dudes? Yeah, I got news for you. There's guys on the planet that are better than you. Just either stick with your little clan butthole buddies and play your ranked matches and leave guys like me alone, or just understand you're not always going to win with us. We have good nights, we have bad nights, I especially, you know, and I look back on those days with playing against clans like the Drum Gods, and I just go, you know, it just really isn't worth it to have this tag of elite player or whatever. It's more like elitist when you care more about stats than you do actually playing the game and enjoying it. So I just thought I'd take a minute or two before we get into the meat of the Best of show to get that off my chest. You don't like it? Too bad. I don't care. Avoid me. That's all I can say is avoid me on Xbox Live if you're one of these people, because I really don't care. You're bitching and screaming at me about our team winning or losing, by a couple points here, a couple points there, I'm just going to either ignore you or scream at you, because it's not fun. It's just not something I'm into. And to be honest, I've never been. It's always been about fun. Video games are that and nothing more. Okay, the first piece of the Best Of show comes from Episode 3, early in the history of WonderPod. It's the first time we ever took a whack at 3D TV. Enjoy it.
The last news story that I want to do for this episode, and this one, it just popped up. Here's the headline. Sony pinning its hopes on 3D. Can anybody see Titanic in this fucking thing?
Yep.
It's by our buddy Matt Martin again. Let's see how this goes. Sony Corporation is making a concentrated push to bring 3D entertainment to the home in 2010 with its technology applied to games such as Little Big Planet, Gran Turismo 5, and MotorStorm Pacific Rift, already impressing advocates of the format. There are advocates for 3D. I wasn't aware of this. Firmware updates. Oh, God. Firmware updates will add 3D gaming capabilities to the PlayStation 3 and 3D movie functionality to the Blu-ray player later this year, alongside the launch of its own dedicated 3D TV channel and the success of billion-dollar movie Avatar. 2010 could be a breakthrough year for the format. Oh, Sony is really going to fucking kill themselves with this, aren't they?
Yep. Too early.
Are they going too quick with this? Or are they going to end up with another PlayStation 3 launch on their hands? I mean, I'm not even going to read the rest of this. It's just 3D is great. We have glasses. We have TVs. Doing this.
So then we're going to buy specific... Well, if I was a Sony PlayStation 3 owner, I would have to buy a specific glasses now as well. I need their TV?
See, that's the thing. The firmware updates are coming already to either your Blu-ray player or your PlayStation 3, but you have to have one of their damn TVs.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's not going to work.
I don't see this as... I mean, hey, I'll be the first right here on the show to admit I'm wrong, but I see this as becoming a giant fucking money-losing disaster for...
Yeah, I mean, aren't these TVs really expensive? And, I mean...
I would imagine they are.
There's an option for you go and you buy a pair of glasses, but I'm sure they'll cost $100 or something for your regular TV. But, yeah, if you got to buy their fucking new 3D technology, that, according to a lot of reports, gives people headaches, and you have to be in the exact right spot for it to work perfectly. Yeah, I see this as an epic fail.
Virtual Boy?
Yeah.
Kind of what I'm thinking. Well, they're saying right here, here's a paragraph out of the story. A standard format for 3D and the glasses required to view it has been adopted by all TV manufacturers, putting an end to an early signs of a format war so we don't have another HD DVD versus Blu-ray fucking disaster, which Microsoft lost its ass on. Could have hampered the adoption of 3D in the home, and fears that viewing 3D can be uncomfortable for the user are fading. Yeah, according to you.
Yeah, people trying to sell it.
I'm seeing this as just trying to spin the plane crash after it's hit the ground.
I think they're jumping the gun.
I think they've got
a technology's a little early. No one's going to want to buy a $3,000 TV just to play their PlayStation 3 in 3D.
When it looks damn fine in HD.
Yep.
Gunsage, do you think Sony's screwing themselves doing this?
More or less. But personally, if there's any advocating going on, I'm an advocate for Fuck One Grand Prix.
Are you saying 3D porn? Is that the only reason to make 3D is 3D porn?
No, fuck one.
Fuck one. Okay. On right. That note, we
move. On the site.
Fuck one. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm back with you.
Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, didn't they learn from the PlayStation 3 launch fucking debacle that cost their CEO his early retirement? Yeah. And fucking, I want to love you, Sony, I really do, but when you keep fucking doing shit like this, it's so impossible. It's so impossible to have sympathy for you when you don't learn.
Yeah.
They're like the little kid that puts their hand on the hot stove and then 3 weeks later does it again.
Oh, not even 3 weeks later. They're just like, ow! Ow!
It gets the left hand and then goes, well, maybe it won't hurt if I do it with my right hand.
Maybe it won't hurt with my face.
Yeah, they're almost up to the face on the hot stove level. Oh, remember when they tried this with movies back in the, what was it, mid-80s or whatever? And then, of course, the much maligned and rightfully so Virtual Boy. Oh, yeah. Gunsage is the only reason that we keep that horrible memory alive. The Virtual Boy must have touched you in your naughty bits.
See, that's the funny part. I didn't mind it when it first came out. I was like, okay, well, there's not a whole lot of callers, and games are all right, I guess. guess, but, well, I mean, this will be good for a first run, and then nobody ever did it ever again. Because, yeah, virtual reality pretty much died after it became the year 2000. So,
I just...
You say you owned a Virtual Boy?
Yep.
Wow. Do you still have it?
I've still got it, and I've still got a fuckload of games for it.
That's cool. Collector's item.
Yeah, you could put one of your you could put one of your children through college on... Yeah, they're actually selling on eBay.
Really?
Because it's the epic... It's collecting the epic fail edition.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. There's people that do that. They collect shit that just failed epically. They're retarded, but...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, Sony's got one all lined up for them right here as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's an expensive purchase, though, if you got to buy a TV.
Well, it sounds like... Now, this could be wrong, and we'll try and correct it if it is. It sounds like you also have to have the glasses.
Wow. Yeah.
Which I think they were running around saying they were going to be fairly expensive.
Well, I wonder if they're collecting epic fail stuff, if I should go around buying up all the copies of Ninja Gingerbread Man or whatever the fuck it is.
How about Dakintana?
Dakintana? Oh my god. I've never tried that game. I've just heard it's terrible and it will eat your computer.
I'm surprised John Romero didn't pull a David Carradine after that fucking mess finally hit the... Yep. I played it for 5 minutes.
Wow.
It had like a Blizzard-like weight for it. And of course it was John Romero, so he was good for it.
Yeah.
He'd never burned us before. Not only did he burn us, but then he peed on us and set us on fire again. I mean, it's just my cousin played all the way through it just because he's a sadomasochist. But I'm just a good luck, Sony. You're gonna need it. Maybe it'll be big in Japan. Maybe they'll get saved by their home country again. Who knows? I just don't see it. I saw that pop up and I went, oh god.
That was the first piece of the Best of WonderPod. Now, because I'm a weird son of a bitch, a little joke. There is a drunk walking down the street, one foot on the curb, one foot on the street, one foot on the curb, one foot on the street. Policeman walks up and says, "You drunk?" Drunk says, "Thank God, I thought I was a cripple." Waka waka waka. Our next piece in this is back in episode 6, we discussed how to access the Halo Reach beta. Enjoy.
Why don't you go ahead and get it out of the fucking way?
What are we talking about here?
What do you think we're talking about? Do it.
Alrighty, people. Halo Reach beta is here. It is on May the 3rd. So I have an article here from OneUp.com saying, make sure to get an ODST disc now for your ticket into the Halo Reach beta. So basically what they're saying is if you don't own ODST, you can't play the Halo Reach beta, which is kind of, you know, a bit of a screw over a lot of people. They want to get new fans to play the game, they should have had it open to everyone, I think, personally. One thing for sure is that Carlos just had the biggest orgasm in the history of Mexicans when he found out about the Halo Reach demo, or the beta. I'm not a Halo fanboy, but I do like the game. I mean, it's good. So I'm excited to get my hands on it this May. Halo games are famous for the multiplayer modes, so this one should be no different in terms of fun and quality. But there's also rumors of classes and more emphasis on team play for Reach, so I hope this is shown off in the demo. I hope they don't pull a Battlefield Bad Company 2 and give a really shitty game type that I hate. But so Halo Reach news, the beta is coming, but only if you still have your copy of the expansion pack. I mean, ODST. What do you gentlemen think of this? Anything?
First off, I hate betas. Don't care. Oh my god, I got in a beta. Great, you got to play a version of the game before they polish the turd a little more. Lucky you. So the reason I had you read this rather than skip it, just like the StarCraft 2 beta. Hey, guess what? StarCraft 2 is in beta. Who gives a fuck? Release it.
Yeah.
You bastards. Yep. Even though my PC won't run it. Is the fact that this just put a semi-nail in the coffin of me even thinking about buying Halo Reach as someone who has never played a Halo game and would be new to the franchise. So Bungie, you're telling me I gotta go buy ODST, which everybody but the most rabid Carlos-like fanboys had said wasn't that great, so that I can get the Halo Reach demo off the disc. Yeah, I don't fucking think so. Even if I picked up a used copy of ODST Tampon, yeah, no. I'm not spending money so I can play a demo with a bunch of screaming fanboys hollering cock at the same time.
Cock!
I don't think so. And I'm also a little curious. This is the Halo fan base we're talking about. How well does Bungie think team play is going to work with that crowd? I'm still on the fence. Between this whole ODST thing and Carlos constantly annoying me, it's kind of teetering me towards where I may skip it. But I'm still kind of on the fence. Bungie, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping get a new player to the franchise. Way to go.
That's a very interesting point that, Halo's super popular. Yeah, I mean, you got to give it credit. It's, there's still more people playing Halo 3 years later than Modern Warfare 2 on Xbox Live, but they're not helping themselves getting any new fans by restricting the beta to having the, ODST disc. What do you think, Carlos?
Well, I think you're a faggot.
That's what he would say. But anyways, what do you think, Gunsage?
But I cannot believe you just called Carlos.
I was kind of caught up in this surreal moment.
Like, what the hell?
Call me Carlos?
Carlos.
Carlos is here?
That's okay. Carlos calls me Gunsage all the time, so there you go. Anyways.
Oh, Christ.
He can't pronounce the origin anyway, so. Anyways, Gunsage, comments?
My comment is that Halo is gay. It's the gayest gay that ever gayed, and it's going to continue to gay as much as it can possibly gay, because it's the gay around. So there. Right.
So you're not going to be running out to buy ODST so you can play Halo beta?
You know, I actually contemplated getting Halo 3 because I know that you guys play it a little bit.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, Pat plays a little bit.
I got it.
So I thought, maybe I could get it. Maybe I could go and get it, and I could pick it up, and I could enjoy it just because I have people to play it with. And then I thought, no, I'm not a faggot. Well, this is the way it boils down to with me. With the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I actually liked it. I just wanted to rent it just to see if I was going to like it, and I actually liked the single-player experience, never tried it multiplayer. And everybody was raving about Modern Warfare 2's multiplayer, and I'm like, that's great. Is the single-player experience good? Well, yeah, it's good! Okay, so beat the single-player experience in a day. I'm like, well, that was a bust. Went ahead and started playing multiplayer, and that's all the fuck I've done with it ever since, because it's just fun as fuck. But I don't think that I could really enjoy Halo 3 multiplayer because I know I wouldn't enjoy it single player. So,
The single player is a lot better in co-op mode. So, definitely the single player is the weak spot of Halo 3. But co-op mode actually opens it up. You get four players. It's not bad. I'm not defending Halo here, but...
basically like same misery of this company.
Okay, so we've officially talked about Halo enough.
Shall be happy. The Carloses have rejoiced.
Oh, he won't be happy when he listens to this segment.
So more about Halo and on to the news.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil McCarlos hanging himself at 11.
Wow, the amount of times the word gay was thrown around in there, it almost sounded like a Halo fanboy party chat. Hope you enjoyed that little segment. Our next one is going to be also from Episode 6. It was the first time we ever took Internet 2.0 kitties, as I have coined them, to task for bitching about review scores. While you enjoy that, I'm going to go pet Burning Dog. Adios.
The first freaking thing I want to talk about today is this disturbing trend I've seen growing in the last few months with review scores. Now, I'm not sure when a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 became this horrible crime against gamerdom. I mean, I can remember in college when I was majoring mostly in drinking when I would have given my left arm for a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. First off, flame wars on the internet are flame wars on the internet, and it's ridiculous. And the two reviews I'm talking about, but it's been going on elsewhere too, is the crew over at Destructoid gave Bioshock 2 an 8, which was an 8.5 for the single player and a 7.0 for the multiplayer, as far as I'm concerned, Bioshock 2 shouldn't even have had multiplayer. What the fuck? Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
That was put in due to pressure, I'd say.
Yeah. When I pick up Bioshock 2, I won't be playing multiplayer. Don't give a shit.
Yeah, you will, because we'll all have it.
Fuck no, I still won't.
I don't want to play with you motherfuckers. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Well, pretty much.
Online co-op or not? Or is it just single player alone campaign?
I imagine it's Take Two, Marin. I imagine it's just single player alone. Right. And then I'm sure you could probably do something split screen. I didn't read that closely. But they gave it an 8 overall. They rounded it up and gave it an 8.
It's not bad.
fucking people shit themselves. They were screaming about how the Metacritic score was 90. Oh yeah, Metacritic. So? Yeah, there's a fucking reliable source. I wouldn't cross on this. I wouldn't cross the street to pee on Metacritic if it was a human. If it was on fire, then screw Metacritic. So then a couple days later, they reviewed Heavy Rain for the PS3, which apparently I didn't keep up that much with it, but apparently it's the Uber PS3 game out right now.
I want to play it.
They gave it a 7, and people shit themselves.
I was a little weirded out by that, but then I started thinking about, even whenever he was mentioning the control system in E3, I was like, there's some people that are going to be rubbed the wrong way with that fucking shit. They were talking about, oh, you hold down the right trigger in order to move forward. This way you can do, and I'm like, no. No, 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 no. That's not going to work. That's going to piss people off.
Well, not only that, from what I did see, they hyped the story as being epic, and it wasn't.
Ah, I gotcha.
The review sites actually included stuff about the story, like IGN gracefully, nimbly, and probably on the take, went around the fact that there was story at all. So it got nailed for that, which I think is fair. But here's my major problem. And then apparently Game Informer is getting taken to the whip for giving a early review of AVP and not giving it a good score.
Uh-huh.
But my problem is what in the hell? A 7 out of 10 is still a good game, first off. Yeah. An 8 out of 10 is still a good game.
Very good game.
But what the hell does it matter? I haven't read a review to decide on a game in 5 fucking years. Jim Sterling, who we were talking about with these other two reviews, I don't give a shit what he thinks. He hated Fallout 3. It didn't stop me from playing it. It didn't stop me from loving it. I don't give a shit what Jim thinks. He can write whatever he wants.
Yep.
As long as he's giving his honest opinion and not pulling a GameSpot, which Lord knows who is and who isn't, I don't care. What does it matter to you stupid gamers? I'm getting sick and tired of you little bastards. Ugh, it's not going to ruin your... let me ask you, Gunsage. Did the fact that, once again, Jim, didn't enjoy Assassin's Creed 2 ruin your game experience?
I wanted to stab him.
Yeah.
Well, when I first saw his review, I was like, what? Really? And then I started remembering, I was like, well, wait a minute. Not everyone liked the original Assassin's Creed, and I loved it, so whatever. It's still a game that I plan on picking up anyway. It was the same deal with Brutal Legend. They gave it like a 6, I think. And
yeah,
I was like,
6 or 6.5.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, okay, I love it.
But whatever. Its Metacritic was only like 80.
So?
Well, I know, but what I'm trying to do is not throw Destructoid under the bus. I mean, they have a really good set of reviewers. We happen to be going through Sterling because he's the most debated game reviewer known to man, apparently. I don't know. I don't pay any damn attention. You know, but guys like Jim and Dan Shu and Brian Crescenti and guys like that, who gives a shit what they think?
Yeah.
Most of those guys, as far as, in my opinion, write what they think of a game and they're done with it. I mean, you get on into IGN and GameSpot and some of that, it's like, oh, I really don't give a shit. But it's not going to ruin my game experience. I don't care. You know, so some people just need to shut the hell up about it. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. What's next? Unless it gets a 10 out of 10, we're all fucking going to riot?
Well, that's the other problem. Most people are unwilling to accept that something's a perfect 10, unless it's a game that they absolutely loved, at which point there's still reasons why I barely give anything a 10, because I'm like, well, there was still some things that I thought, you know, prevented it from being perfect, you know. It's not the game that I can sit down and play for hours on end and whatever. But, I don't know. I think they just whine too fucking much. They need to change their fucking diapers and bottles.
These Web 2.0 kiddies just need to all collectively shut the fuck up. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if it's your favorite console. I don't care if it's your favorite game. Just go play the... See, that's the thing. I don't understand it because it's just... You're going to play the game anyway. Even the boycotter crowd buckles under and goes and plays the damn game once it's out. You know, it's like, so... What do you think, Patrick?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't understand the whole rating system. Like, I think most people these days think that, like you were saying, anything under a 7 is bad. But it isn't. I mean, you know, a 5 out of 10 is the new 0 out of 10, you know? It seems like hardly anyone has the balls to give a video game review anything under a 6 or a 5, let alone below 5. And so I think people have become used to, like, think of it as a curve at school, right? The curve has moved from what a normal bell curve should be. You know, a decent game might be a 6.5. But if you look at a lot of the reviews lately and a lot of the sites, no one's giving those low scores anymore. So, you know, the curve has moved. So people are almost looking at it, not at a number that we would look at it, but at what do most reviewers give for a good game? And now they're giving 8s and they're giving 8.5s. And I think people are starting to expect much higher ratings for games. I think going to some other system, I don't know what, would be a lot more helpful. I'm also tired of a lot of the people who bitch about, oh, this game is only an 8.5. I mean, that's 85%. Like you were saying, when I was at university, I sure as hell would have loved a few 85% on some of my exams. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, and then you have the growing trend of the we're going to trash everything crowd.
Yeah.
You know, apparently fucking being negative and just trashing shit, even if it's good, is cool. I don't quite get that either. Let me ask you guys something. Actually, two questions. First off, do you prefer reviews with numbers or without? Because I noticed some of them have dropped numbers, and there was this huge debate on Destructoid and on a couple others about, well, should we have numbers? Shouldn't we not have numbers? And I think Destructoid even posted a guide as to how they come up with the numbers. Which way do you prefer it?
Well, I prefer a number only because the way that I review, sometimes I'll be really, like, I'll really trash hard on a game and then I forget what I really liked about it. And the crappy part is often I have something positive I want to say about it, but I dwell so much on the negative that it comes out seeming like it would be a terrible fucking game. So then I try to wrap it up nicely by saying, you know, all in all, this is actually a pretty good game. It's just it has a lot of faults. But if you read through the whole thing and don't look at the score, then it's like, wow, he really fucking hated this game. And that's typically not the case. It's just sometimes I can't think about what exactly I really liked about the game that kept me playing it. It's just I kept playing it. And I enjoyed it. It's just I enjoyed it understanding, okay, I didn't like this, I didn't like this, I didn't like this, I didn't like this, I didn't like this. But, you know, then again, there are people that write better than me that can explain exactly why they liked it and exactly why they didn't and probably rate it a little more fairly than I do. So there you go.
Patrick, same question.
It's hard to say. I more look for writers that I have, seem to have things in common with and then look at what they've written. I'm starting to go towards the no number score and more just listening to the good aspects and the bad aspects. I don't ever, base whether I buy or sell a game upon something like Metacritic, but it does, on the other hand, it does help a bit. I mean, if you go on there and you see nothing but friggin' 5s and 6s on a game you're not sure about, you probably won't buy it. But if it's a game you know you're gonna buy, it doesn't matter what the score is. I guess if I had to make a decision whether I want to read reviews that have number scores in them or not, I'd probably go with not, just because of the whole ridiculousness of all the feedback that everybody's giving it. Oh my god, it's only an 85. Holy cow.
Well, see, here's the problem. It's either Joystick or 1UP that has done away with numbers.
I think it's 1UP.
I understand why they did it, because it actually forces these Web 2.0 kiddies who won't read more than 400 words of text total without screaming wall of text at you, which makes them fucking retarded. It makes me glad I will be dead when that illiterate bunch of tools gets control of the world. So I kind of prefer the scoreless review, but at the same time, too, I think it's a dumbing down of it to force people to read it. You know, you go look at any review that's got numbers, I bet you over 40% of the comments are people who just scrolled right down to the number and started bitching.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so much you can miss, like Gunsage was talking about. There's so much you can miss in the nuances of text of the way they talk about the things they liked or the things they didn't like that a score doesn't reveal. So I'm kind of torn between the two. Whether I read reviews mostly for entertainment value, because the writers that I follow I know are going to provide interesting comments that will entertain and amuse me. Literally not based a game decision on a review in probably 5 years or more, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know what I like, I know what I don't like. There's a few that are too close to call, so I might kind of read around for other people's opinions. If you're really solely basing your game purchases off of strictly off Metacritic or off a review, Okay, and then the second question I had is, do you think this continuing whining, bitching, and crying about anything under a 6, let's say, even without developer pressure, a la Jeff Gertzman and GameSpot, do you think this is gonna put pressure on reviewers and on sites to assign people reviews because they love the franchise and to give higher scores because the readership is being a bunch of whiny bitches?
Honestly, I think it doesn't really matter. If somebody's dumb enough to go, like you were saying, if somebody's really dumb enough to go ahead and make their purchases solely based on what one or two reviewers are saying about something, then that's their money wasted. I mean, they might end up finding something they legitimately like. You know, if they're like, oh, I never even heard of this game and it got a 9, okay, I might have to check it out. Okay, fine, rent it. But there's no reason to go ahead and buy something brand spanking new that you had no interest in whatsoever, and then someone went, oh my god, it's the fucking best game ever! And then you're like, well, I guess I'll have to buy it because I'm stupid! You know?
So you don't think it'll put more pressure on the reviewers to just start keep jacking up the scores until you get the now famous 11 out of 10?
The problem is that if everyone starts giving everything a 9, then it becomes relative. Why didn't you give it a 9.5? Why didn't you give it a 9.8? Oh my god, you give it an 8.9? Are you out of your fucking shit? You know, and then it eventually becomes, well, what the fuck is the point of the score then? You know, you guys are going ahead and saying, well, okay, so now 9 is standard. No, fucking the way I look at it, 6 is typically where I draw the line. It's like, okay, if it was something I was really interested in, I'm still going to check it out, but yeah. With a 7 or higher, it's like, okay, a 7 is acceptable, an 8 is a great game. You know, a 9 is a really great game, it's just not perfect. And then a 10 is, it bar none, it's something you have to at least check out. You know, but even then, it doesn't matter.
You think it's going to put pressure on them?
Well, it probably does. I mean, let's face it. All these websites, especially the big ones, I mean, it's all politically motivated. You know, especially in the States, there's still a recession going on, and these big name developers, whether they want to admit it or not, are, you know, they're catering to the reviewers. They're bringing them on planes. They're setting them up, you know, in hotels. They're going all over the place. And whether they admit it or not, they're expecting favoritism. So there's two ways of looking at it. You know, the big name sites who say they don't do it, but they do.
Shit.
You know, they're going to have to definitely be influenced and say, okay, this writer loves shooters, so let's give him a shooting game, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the big name gaming websites are definitely going to be doing this. They're going to be choosing writers for each game. The smaller places or the blogs, you know, they might be a little less influenced, but there'll definitely be pressure to get the right reviewer, quote unquote, for the right game, which then ruins the whole point, really.
Not entirely. I only say that because if they made me review a sports game, I would have to kill someone.
Yeah, they're not quite that dumb. And most, even the smaller ones, aren't quite that dumb. They at least assign them categories. The only one I've seen where that was kind of a little bit of a mistake was giving Jim Assassin's Creed 2.
Yep.
But then again, Jim uses the whole scale. He knows how to count 1, 2, 3, and 4. Unlike most reviewers who apparently only learn to start counting at 5. Yeah, you reviewing a sports game, that'd be hilarious.
And in this game, you get to be yelled at by a big fat man with white hair. I believe his name is Mattine. I am unsure, but he is big and fat and scary.
Balls and a foot involved.
This is definitely a survival horror game because I am constantly getting raped. I believe this may be the sequel to Silent Hill 2.
They are slapping me on the bottom.
Anytime I pick up the ball, these large burly men are raping me.
I can try to get rid of the ball temporarily, but it just passes to one of my other people, and then they get died.
Actually, you could review Blood Bowl like that, I'm pretty sure.
I also have to be outside, and that is the scariest thing ever.
Yeah. Daystar scares me. All I know is I'm really glad I just read reviews for entertainment value. I mean, it's just, the internet is so easy to fucking stampede. I do know, and I'll probably cut this out, that I'm pretty sure it was Ubisoft. Yeah, they tried the whole flying Jim all over the place, and he shit all over two of their games. Now they don't even send him review copies.
True. Whether they admit it or not, the companies expect after they send you all over the world flying around and whining and dining you that you at least give them that 7, you know? Least.
I'll give them a good review if they give me fucking Beyond Good and Evil 2 early.
Hell, I'll sell out. I don't give a shit. That was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, 4 out of 10.
Well, that's where the 11 out of 10 came from.
Exactly.
It's pie out of 10. Go for it. You know, I wouldn't. Because I can't. And that's, you want to know where 3/4 of the venom that's directed at Sterling comes from. It's the fact that he's not buyable. You know, that he will not. If you think something's shit, I've been around Jim since 2003. Since back then to today, if you think something's shit, he's going to tell you it's shit. He told me over and over and I am that 3 was shit. Matter of fact, I think there's some of him doing that in the old, in the Project Wonder Boy forums from 2007, if you go look.
Probably.
Which is fine. I have the, see, that's just it. I know it's honest, so I don't give a shit. Okay, fine. I'm still gonna play it. Fuck you. You know, I could deal with that. I can even deal with you two. You wanna sell out, give everything 10 versus 10? Fine. I'll just call you fucking sell out and move on. I'm not gonna, you know. It's the in-between. It's the slimy little bastards that you really don't know which way they're coming from that tend to annoy
you. You're just a sellout for not giving it a 10 out of 10. Just like everyone else.
Oh, am I glad that not that many people listen to our podcast. That'd be a new attack. Well, you're a reverse sellout. You give everything 4.5 trying to be cool. I'm sure I actually probably already hear that.
I personally give WonderPod Episode 6 a 12 out of 10.
There you go, 12, you faggot. It's at least over 9,000 out of 10.
Checks in the mail. That's all I'm going to say.
not the female.
Hell, yeah. Hello, Kanan Lynch, part 3.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that segment. I'm sure some of you listen to the show on a regular basis wonder if I'm actually angry when I rant and rave, as I often do. And most of the time, you know, I'm not. It's just the way I do it. It's not so much a persona or an act. It's just kind of the way it goes. This last segment, though, I was pretty close to mad. This whole review ruckus that happens every time a AAA title doesn't get the score or fanboys think it should, that's probably the closest thing in gaming today you'll see that pisses me off. Our next segment is probably one of my favorites, my personal favorites. The backstory on this is several weeks into the show, Gunsage decided to call out his wife on being a gamer dick for something that happened during Mario Party or one of those Mario Wii games. So I left an open invitation for Mrs. Gunsage to come back anytime and rebut Gunsage's gamer dick assault. And this is what you're going to listen to. You're going to listen to Mrs. Gunsage give a rebuttal to her husband.
Okay, so now, basically, for those of you that listen to the show week in and week out, a couple weeks back, 2 weeks in a row, in fact, our very own Gunsage decided to out his wife as a gamer dick. I gave her the opportunity at any time to come back and rebut what her husband was saying about her being a gamer dick while playing Mario Party. And so that is what we are going to do. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Gunsage. Are you there now?
Yep. Hi.
Okay, so you now have the floor to rebut your husband calling you a gamer dick during Mario Party play.
What did I do exactly?
Oh, shit. What?
Yeah, no, you have to tell me.
I have to tell you what you did?
I'm talking to him.
Okay, yeah, have him tell you what you did real quick, and then we'll...
What did I do? What? Don't make me put you on the couch for the next month. What did I do? Eric, TikTok.
Yeah, no kidding.
What? Oh, for God's... He's a sore winner. He's pissed off because I got mad that he stole a star from me, and I didn't even get mad. I was just like, that sucks. You were going to win anyway. How does this qualify me as a bad person?
It qualifies you as a gamer dick.
So you're saying that just because you took him to task for stealing one star from you, that doesn't qualify you as a gamer dick?
I don't believe it should. He was going to win anyway. He's a sore winner.
No, I wasn't going to win anyway.
You were going to win anyway. No, I wouldn't have.
No.
Okay, what's the other one?
The other one was shutting the game console off before the credits finished rolling. Yada, yada, yada.
I had no idea that was verboten.
Yeah, I kind of nailed him on that because it's like you left the console and walked away from it.
I had no idea that that was, I don't know, is that a faux pas?
Apparently, yes. It is if you are a longtime gamer, but you're not a longtime gamer. Yeah, I didn't really see how that was your fault. I kind of gave him shit about it.
Well, thank you.
So basically what you're telling us is that your stance is you're not a gamer dick, he's a sore winner.
He is the gamer dick of all eternity. Did he tell you what he did to my Disgaea file?
Yes, we have heard the Disgaea file story.
I had 300 hours on it, and he deleted it without even asking me if I wanted it. I think me going, you suck, you took my star, is nothing compared to him deleting my 300-hour file.
So yes. What you're saying is he should be in the Gamer Dick Hall of Fame week in and week out on this show.
He is like the Hitler of gamer dicks, okay?
The German blood.
You shut up. You have said your say.
Okay, so basically now we have your side of the story, and that's what we wanted to get on air, since I didn't think it was fair for Gunsage to be able to rant on about you without you getting equal opportunity to rant on about him.
Oh, he whines. You whine. You whine about me. Even after you beat me at a game. You are the sorest winner I have ever seen.
But I'm still the winner.
Asshole.
I'm still the winner.
Oh, that's okay. He thinks it's funny when he can beat our 3-year-old at a game, too. Like, that takes superior knowledge and intellect. You should see him at Extreme Candyland, okay?
Extreme Candyland? He's competitive over Extreme Candyland?
He gets upset if our 3-year-old beats him in Candyland.
I don't care if she beats him.
You do so? You get pissed.
I don't.
You got pissed. You got sent back to the Gumdrop Forest and you were whining.
I got robbed. I got fucking robbed.
Greatest Gamer Dick segment ever. We just found out Gunsage gets competitive over fucking Candyland.
Against a 3-year-old. He cannot stand for our daughter to beat him at Candyland.
You better get the headset away from her, Gunsage. This is hilarious.
Honey, they want you to come steal your headset back before I can tarnish your manly image any further.
Oh, no, I'm telling him he should. I'm not saying you have to. I'm finding this highly entertaining.
They're laughing at you right now.
Gets competitive with a 3-year-old over Candyland. Patrick, have you ever been anything that evil?
Nope. I've never been. Where does he get sent back to? I don't even know what game this is.
Candyland, don't you remember it from the board game as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for Chutes and Ladders. That's going to be. That could be a death match.
You just don't know about my Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, God.
This is what I live with. I live with this.
Yeah, we know. We know. You got to live with him all the time. We only have to put up with him for a couple hours every Thursday night and random random encounters on Xbox Live.
Lucky bitches.
All right, give Gunsage back the headset so we can finish up the show so Patrick and I can go eat.
Okay, have fun.
Thank you.
I know they want you back.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Dude, you what the fuck? You get competitive with a 3-year-old over Candyland? Come on, man.
No, I didn't get competitive. I just got a shit card. Horrible.
This explains so much of the fits you throw when you're on Xbox Live now. Doesn't it, Patrick?
What's that? Sorry.
This explains so much the rages he goes into on Xbox Live, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I'm just going to bring up two words or one word.
Candyland. Oh, I've got
You don't have shields in Candyland.
That's right. You need a giant candy shield. That's what you need.
Oh, my God. This is the best Gamer Dick segment ever.
Well, that was the Gunsage versus Gunsage edition of Gamer Dick. Probably one of my favorites, finding out that Gunsage is competitive over Candyland. Our next one comes from episode 15. Turned out to be rather funny, as our crew tends to find these kinds of things funny. It was the Fable 3 Getting Your Friends Pregnant news. Have a listen.
Okay. Our next story has a much funnier note and tone to it. The headline is, this comes from Cold Taku, Fable 3 lets you knock up your Xbox Live friends. And that's basically the story. I mean, the official Xbox magazine from the UK is announcing or has a story or something that cooperative multiplayer mode and Fable 3 is probably going to, we're not really sure, but we're close, and it's a funny story anyway, allow you to get your friends pregnant on Xbox Live. I never thought I'd live to see the day where I would get to say that sentence.
Dude, you better cover your colon hole.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Only thing I want next to close out this story, the only thing I want next is the ability for when I look at my friends list, the two of you in party chat just going to town on each other. That's what I want.
Oh, totally.
Okay, Gunsage, why don't you tell us what you think of the pregnant Xbox Live Friends thing?
This seems like such a logical transition from what they were doing in Fable 2, because think about it. In the original Fable, you could only be a male character. Now, they allowed you the flexibility to, you know, be a male or a female in the second one. They allowed you the flexibility to be homosexual, gay, bisexual, whatever, in as early as the original one. But, you know, this makes sense. It makes sense. Why can't you go ahead and fuck your friends on Xbox Live, considering... Well, here's the thing. You got male and female characters, and, you know, I know it's not the central theme, but, dude, you have no idea how many times I had just random acts of, like, fucking eight-person orgies in Fable 2. And the original Fable, it was, like, so, like, you know, clean-cut and dry, and, whoa, we're only going to do that after marriage, and bullshit like that. And then Fable 2 was like, ah, go knock yourself out. If you're popular enough, you can pretty much get anyone to ride around your penis or vagina or whatever. I mean, that's more or less the way it went. So this seems like a natural progression to me. I don't know if it'll necessarily be like a fucking multiplayer 32-person gigantic orgy or some stupid shit like that. But on the same token, I almost wonder, I really wonder if it'll be something like, okay, it'll be something like get, you know, an achievement. Get 10 people on your Xbox Live list, your Xbox Live friends list, knocked up.
That would
you
be
know,
cool.
Just ridiculous shit. I don't know, maybe even have it something like the Sailor achievement. Have it where it's like, you know, have sex with 10 people with no protection, get no diseases, and don't have any pregnancy or some ridiculous shit like that. Just to really, you know, push the limits or something. I don't know. I'm just rambling here. But honestly, with Fable 2, I thought it was hilarious, just the ridiculous stuff that they did. And even after what we had talked about the one time, you know,
right,
with it not really being like the other games, if they're doing stuff like this, I'm not worried. I think it's going to be like the other games, but with just extra options and shit like that. So this to me is fucking hilarious.
Patrick, what do you think?
So we can get our friends who we play co-op with pregnant online. Well, that's an interesting gameplay feature for Fable 3, I guess. Note to self, take Carlos off friends list. But let me make one thing clear. If you people on my friends list think that you're going to get any virtual child support out of me, you've got another thing coming. I will need a virtual court order and a virtual DNA test before I pay one piece of my treasure found gold to any of you sluts. I don't know if this scares the hell out of me, you know, making me want the title less, or it excites me with the possibility of making virtual babies with people on my contact list. I don't know.
Virtual prenups, motherfucker.
Yep. Does this mean choose an evil character that I can just go around the town raping characters and getting everyone pregnant? I don't know. What about gay characters? Can they make magical gay babies somehow? I don't know. Obviously, we need more information on this exciting feature.
Well, no, see, here's the thing. There's going to be two running bets when this game comes out. One, as the first one to bag Carlos wins, but he has to be a male character. There'll be some kind of prize. Two, that we get as many people on our friends list as possible to gangbang Carlos. He will be the only recipient. No, seriously though, it's a good hook. Made me laugh out loud when I saw this story on Kotaku. I mean, it just was like, you gotta be kidding me. They're gonna go this far. I wouldn't necessarily hold my breath. It's not gonna be a completely different mechanic in the game, but like Gunsage said, it's a natural progression. One, yeah, you know, in the first game, it was kind of pretty straight-laced. Second game, got a little more out there to the point of my character with 9 prostitutes in a port town in one room. And, you know, so they had to go somewhere with it.
And that was us discussing the news that you can get your Xbox Live friends pregnant in Fable 3. The MVP of that story is definitely Patrick with his not giving up any money until he has a virtual court order to do so. Brilliant on his part. Our next story is kind of a different story for us. While we do dwell on a lot of, I suppose, negative issues in gaming, it's always kind of been my goal to cover the whole gaming community when it comes to things going wrong. Not just bashing Activision and EA, as a lot of people do, but also bashing gamers themselves when they're stupid. But it's also a good thing to point out when gamers are right, when gamers are doing good things. This next story covers the charity Child's Play.
Now, gentlemen, I'm going to take us in a little bit different direction this week for two reasons. One, last week, I thought we were about as negative to everybody and everything as we possibly could have been.
Yes, not, it's all coming together.
Not that we weren't justified in our bitching and moaning, but it led me to have a conversation with my cousin who was visiting in town this weekend, how horrible gamers can be and how we're just a bunch of shitheads. And are you guys aware of a charity called Child's Play?
Yes.
The guys over at Penny Arcade, Gabe and Tycho, about, 4 or 5 years ago now, I think, in response to some of Jack Thompson's bullshit. I'm doing the Cliff Notes version of this, but I think he basically sent Gabe and Tycho an email or maybe just Gabe, saying that, well, I give to charity all the time. You never give to charity, da-da-da-da-da. So Gabe and Tycho started Child's Play, and I was watching a video over there at Penny Arcade about how when they started it, they just put out a call on their website, and 2 days later, Gabe's garage was full from front to back, floor to ceiling, with toys in 2 days. They said they had the FedEx, UPS, and mailman so pissed off because he was having to come like 2 or 3 times a day. And so that spawned into Child's Play. Now, last year, I was not financially able to donate to Child's Play. I usually do. The thing is, as much as we focus on the negativity about how gamers are such dicks, devs are such dicks, publishers, media, yada, yada, yada. This is one thing that as a community we do that's good and that we need to focus on, you know, tying into what that guy was talking about in the video. Last year, Child's Play raised, $1,780,870. The cool thing about it is if you go to the Child's Play website, which I'll try to link when I do the show post. I always say that, never do. There are game controllers on a map, and you can focus on any child hospital you want to donate to. Like, there's one, the nearest one to me is in Oakland. There's a couple in Canada.
One in Calgary.
Yep, there's one in Calgary. Looking for Ohio on the map. Yeah, there's a few in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And the cool thing is if you click on any of those, you don't have to be like this super rich person. Like, I'll click on Oakland's again to donate to them. Let's see here. The first two games that are on their list. If you click on the controller, it takes you to Amazon. The first three things that are on their list are under $10. And if you order it, it'll go to the, I click on Oakland, California, because that's near me. This goes to the Oakland Children's Hospital in the name of Child's Play, you know.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you can do it up there in Alberta, you can do it in Ohio, and it's just, for two guys who do a comic like Penny Arcade, to do this and to start this. I mean, they're all over. It's in Canada, England. Oh, yeah, no, I know Australia and New Zealand, but is that Germany? Yeah, it's Germany, I think. I just wanted to take a moment before we jumped into news and probably will be negative dicks again to say that, you know, not all functions of the game community is about eating their own. You know, that there are people out there that do good works, and I personally want to encourage you to support Child's Play. I mean, I plan on donating this year. If someone like me, who's usually broke as hell, can afford to donate $5 to $10 to them and put a smile on a child's face who's going through something awful, anytime you got to be at the hospital for more than 5 minutes is awful. I know.
Oh, I was going to say, I always donate old clothes and baby toys and stuff like that because fucking, especially places like Once Upon a Child will pay you $20 for 20 bag loads of shit that's perfectly still good.
Wow.
Well, yeah, right. It's something that we gamers can do that's positive. As much as most of the time we're part of the problem, as we illustrated last week and as we'll probably illustrate until the three of us get sick of each other and quit doing this show. But this is one thing I want to hold up after all of last week's negativity, you know, to say, hey, go donate. If you could afford $60 for a game, you could probably afford $5 to give to this charity. I want to see them get to $2 million next year. That's what I want to see. So, any thoughts, gentlemen? Have either of you ever donated to them, or were you that familiar with it before I
heard about it? Some websites have been doing like marathons and stuff, and then they have them on webcams, and they're doing, I know there's a few Nintendo websites that'll have all Mario marathons, and then you're just send them money and they put it towards Child's Play. I've seen that before. And I'm looking through the Calgary stuff here. Well, it's in Calgary. They call it the Alberta Children's Hospital. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of generous people here. Lots of elites. They only need one more Xbox 360 Elite. Everything from that down to a headset that only costs $2.99. So, yeah, I would encourage anyone who does this. I'm kind of scared of the interwebs and using any form of money. I'm a paranoid little bastard. I usually donate more in person, but if you're brave enough and if you're not like me, then this would be an awesome cause. Definitely. I mean, if you're a gamer, this is right true to your heart.
Hey, you can, Patrick, for those of you that are afraid of the internet, even here in 2010, hey, you admitted you're paranoid. It doesn't mean I'm not going to make fun of you. until I get my identity stolen because I order everything on the internet, which I haven't yet, but, you know, some risks you're willing to take, some you're not. So I'll make gentle fun of you, but I understand why you don't. You can buy a toy, an unwrapped toy, and I think just send it to them. Yeah. You could go down to your local Future Shop, Best Buy, whatever. You'd have to read on here. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure you can just send it to the Penny Arcade offices, and it will go wherever. Or you might be able to even take it to the Alberta Children's Hospital and care up Child's Play.
Yeah, probably.
If you're not, yeah, see, you can also donate cash directly via PayPal or Child's Play, 123 Northwest 36th Street, number 210, Seattle, Washington, 98107.
Cool.
See, like I said, I wanted to spotlight this. I mean, the guys at Penny Arcade are huge. They're internet celebrities now themselves, but still, I don't think you can say enough about a charity like this. You know, so if our little podcast gets it to one new person, it's well worth the time to me to take out of our normal shenanigans of bitching, pissing, moaning, rambling on, and all the other stuff we do to talk about. Any closing thoughts, Gunsage?
Not really. I mean, I did know about the charity, but I haven't actually officially, donated to them, so. It could definitely be good.
Well, now that you know how cheap it is.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of stuff on here. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But anyways, give the Child's Play. It's cheap as $3.89. If order online at Amazon, yada, yada, yada. So give, you cheap bastards. I mean, you think about it, we spend $60 on a game. A lot of times when we shouldn't necessarily spend $60 on a game. So let's move to news, folks. Gunsage, why don't you talk about Super Monkey Island, Secret of Monkey Island, Slap a Pogo Stick Productions, or whatever.
So apparently they're getting ready to go ahead and remake Monkey Spank Island 2. I mean, Secret of Monkey Island 2.
And Porchlight. Don't forget about it.
Yes, Porchlight also.
There you go. Us talking about a wonderful charity, Child's Play, which, as the story mentioned, was started by Gabe and Tycho, the duo that do Penny Arcade. So head over to the Penny Arcade website and give, like I said in the story. Well, there you have it. The first episode, or edition, or whatever you want to call it, of the Best of Wonder Pod. It was a lot of fun for me to do. One of the reasons I decided to do it was we, had the time, needed a little bit of a break, and I always kind of wanted to put together a best of show. And before I take off and leave you people in peace, I wanted to say that this show has been one of my favorites to do, and it has a lot to do with the other people. Yeah, I created the show. Yes, I'm the, I suppose, host of the show. But I wouldn't really be able to get the show done without Patrick and without Gunsage. And, just having the time to do it and the freedom to kind of sit back and figure out what I want to do with the show. So if you listen to the show on a regular basis, just let me say thank you very, very much. We can't say it often enough. I'd like to thank Pat for all the promoting he does of the show, as well as Gunsage. And hope you enjoyed the Best of Wonder Pod. And if this is your first time listening, hopefully it'll give you a good little sample of what we do. We will be back next week with another show, episode 19. Until then, I'm going to leave you with a few outtakes, screw-ups, mess-ups that I was putting at the end of earlier shows. Adios.
Anyway.
Super Monkey Island.
Whatever. There's monkeys in an island, so I don't know.
That's awesome. Okay.
No, I totally forgot what the fuck I was talking about.
Porchlight or whatever things.
Porchlight?
Yes. Porchlight, yep. Coming to consoles. You're talking about coming to consoles.
And you thought Super Monkey Island was bad. You just called
Super
it pretty
Monkey
good.
Island a Porchlight coming soon.
No, that will be the expansion pack.
Twilight?
Facebook. Why Life is coming to consoles? Make it go away!
Oh my god, I would put an X for each one of my consoles of Twilight.
I've got to make sure it's a sparkly steak.
Yeah, hell no, I'd run that son of a bitch over with a truck or a tractor or something. It ain't coming back. No. They fart and die. That used to be my calling card in
You fart, you die.